seeing how the personal development turns into a serving first type of mentality and approach.
And he goes, honestly, learning to relax is just another form of surrender.
It is so important in a sense of, yes, have a relationship with the Lord and stewarding that in prayer.
And allowing him into the areas where maybe you don't even realize that you need to be led into.
You're listening to the Such Is Life podcast. Fighting through the noise of the struggles of people in the 21st century.
Hey man, that's not right. You can't do it like that. Do it like this.
With the Bible unashamedly at the forefront. Seeking turning on alignment of spirit, mind, and body, God's way. Here are your hosts, Christopher Nelson II and David Soto.
Tell them we stay winning.
We're back at it again. Welcome to the Such Is Life podcast. Chris, David, across my screen. And we have
what up
on this week's episode. Again, back-to-back weeks. How about that, huh?
No, seriously. And it's my honor and privilege to actually introduce these people. I got my boy John and her amazing fiance, by the way, because they just recently got engaged this Friday. The amazing Emily. John, M, feel free to introduce yourselves. Chat whatever you guys want. Those floor is now yours, my friend.
Alrighty, yeah. So, hi guys. My name is John. I am blessed to have known the Lord intimately for about 2 years now, and I met my amazing fiance here at Red Rocks Wire Prayer Team. So that's kind of our story there. I don't know if you want to introduce a little snippet of you.
Yeah, my name is Emily with two M's. It's not a typo. I always tell people that. I'm a worship intern at Red Rocks. And yeah, we met on prayer team at YA, and I've been walking faithfully with the Lord for 3 years.
Wow, that's awesome. My boy Chris, do you feel like, where do you want to take this? How do you feel?
Well, first off, we gotta remind the people, like, this is amazing content that we're bringing y'all, obviously. You gotta like, you gotta subscribe, but not yet. You have to hear something cool on the episode first. And, you know, given the panel that we've assembled today, I'm sure that there will be no shortage of entertaining discussion. So, like, subscribe. Other than that, I have nothing else. Are we ready to dive into this very entertaining and very relevant topic that we've got going on today?
Yes, my guy. Oh, we need a little bit of context. All right, today's dating context. Today's talking about dating. Last week, we talked about singleness. And so I think this context is pretty self-explanatory. I feel like many people when I talk about their dating seasons or even the idea of their leading towards steps, we get two interesting categories, at least the areas that I see people who try to rush it and try to skip the dating phase as fast as possible and try to get married as fast as possible. Or I see people who rather prefer to choose to be single and just they really struggle with this concept of dating because they feel like there's just no guys out here. So without further ado, I decided to pick these two very intentional, amazing people from based off my experiences and also my interactions with them. And so I really do have the honor to basically look towards the masters, the people who actually basically figured out the way of how dating works. So John, this floor is yours. I am a student, which is why I planned literally nothing. There were a lot of areas I really prayed about this, and honestly, I want to be a student of your guys's, and I really want to be intentional about this. I'm willing to say that, like, I've failed in a lot of relationships, and so I really want to see how you guys did it. What are your guys's successes? Where are you guys's backfires, and how you guys did it? Hence why I personally invited both of you guys. So, yeah. Like I said, it's a huge honor, and feel free to take it from here. I'll just write notes.
I think to start off, I would like to say that I don't consider us masters in any way, because we literally just got engaged. Mm-hmm. And I've also had a lot of failed relationships before finding John. So yeah, just to preface with that.
I was gonna say the exact same thing, like, not in any way. I think that it's just like any pastors, or at least at Red Rocks, that's the church that we all attend, they tell us every weekend, like, we're imperfect people seeking a perfect God. And it's because of him that we're able to be where we're at today. And I think that kind of leads into the first point that I would like to make is, I think really important that you steward your relationship with the Lord before mm-hmm. you find somebody. I think that is the number one thing. I once saw a sermon where they were talking about you cannot deprive someone of the one just because you want the one. It was going to the basis of you have to be the one, like the perfect person that you would want or think that someone else would want before you find that person.
Yeah.
Because then you'd be depriving that person of the one. Does that make sense? So I think that'd be like the first thing to kind of knock off the board for this. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I think to be the one, it's not to be like perfect in any way, because like you had said,
yeah.
Going over that again, but it's true, because there's no such thing as perfect other than Jesus, and that's why we follow him, because he is a perfect God. But that doesn't mean that we just make excuses for things or just sell ourselves short. I think it actually calls us higher, because we have a God who, you know, calls us higher and he challenges us. And I think in singleness, it's so easy to do that, because you're not distracted and you don't have to share your time with anyone. You just have your friends, your family, and God. So I think that's a perfect opportunity to allow yourself to be sanctified in the way that God wants you to. And that starts with surrender. So like, surrender is the first number one thing.
Yeah.
Because everyone can be like, oh yeah, I love the Lord, I follow the Lord. But if you're not surrendering to him, then you're not mm-hmm. giving him your full heart. You're not being vulnerable with him. And then you can't do that in a relationship. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's a good perspective too, right? The idea that your marriage, which is effectively the goal of your dating season, is mm-hmm. supposed to be the combination of two different ministries into one super ministry. And
exactly.
in order for you to become that super ministry, you have to first obviously develop your own ministry. And that's the point of the mm-hmm. season of singleness. And
yeah.
it's you take one step further in the season of dating, getting to know another person. And then you take another step forward once you realize, hey, we seem like we have a lot in common. It seems like this thing is kind of working out. Do you want to marry me? If you're the guy, right? You propose, like John did very recently. And that transitions you into a new stage. And, you know, it's just a beautiful picture of seeing how the personal development turns into a serving first type of mentality and approach, which it should have already been in your season of development as a single person. It just gets exemplified as you actually realize, wait, I can actually specify this towards this relationship. Because we oftentimes think of serving in a very confused way, right? It's like, how do I serve? Who do I serve? Am I serving them right? And mm-hmm. I think the dating season allows us to, at least at a very minimum, just focus on like, okay, at a very minimum, I need to serve this person. How do I do that? And it's just that type of beauty that you see in relationship, especially the dating relationship, while you're hammering through issues, that it just turns into an amazing picture of how God relates to us in our own lives, and how he's using us to impact others for his purpose and his plan.
I was going to say, okay, two areas that I really want to talk about. All right. So something that John said, which the idea is like, you can't really be the one if you're not fully equipping yourself. It kind of reminds me of Ephesians 5:33, which talks about each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and his wife must respect his husband. But that main part where he loves himself, and I feel like it's one of those things where we get this idea of it's two single, complete people coming together. Yes. And I think Mike Todd talks about this a lot too, where 1 + 1 = 1, not 1 + 1 = 2. And it makes mm-hmm. sense, because it's the coming together of one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then to top off Emily's idea of surrendering, I really do love this. Em, I love that you said that, because literally 2 weeks ago, Sean talked about this idea of like, when he was talking about the singleness lecture, you know, or singleness sermon, he was like, relax, like learn to relax, you know, like trust that God has it all figured out, you know? Yeah. And that was one thing that I was trying really hard to figure out in my head. I'm like, Lord, what does it look like to relax? And so I asked someone from YA, I forgot his name already. And he goes, honestly, learning to relax is just another form of surrender. It's just learning to surrender and giving that up and trusting that God's plan far outweighs that. So yeah, I just wanted to make sure, wanted to throw my tip bit in, but anyone else?
Yeah. I think something really important that both Em and I wanted to touch on and get to is, the prayer life of individuals. before you're getting married, before you're getting engaged, before you're even dating, I think that it is so important in a sense of, yes, have a relationship with the Lord and stewarding that in prayer. And Emma and I, we have a whole testimony in that, which basically we had some confusion because we come from different cultures. We come from different churches. I was in Houston. She was over here in Denver. And there's just different ways that we operate and do our spirituality with the Lord, right? And I think that that's something that maybe you could start us off with.
Yeah. Just to kind of tie in that with the previous point that David was talking about, I think with like prayer comes surrender, because
yeah.
a lot of the times we try to put like beautiful words together and sound eloquent.
Yeah.
When in reality, God just wants us to be vulnerable with him. And yeah, prayer is where surrender happens, because you can be like, God, I surrender to you, but you're not actually doing it because you're not spending time with him and allowing him into the areas where maybe you don't even realize that you need to be let into. Because when you're single, you're very selfish and you do things your own way and you don't realize like that you need to change in these different areas. So then when you meet someone, they can point out those things in you. And I think, so the fact that we met on prayer team was kind of crazy, because we both had to be very prayerful about us coming together and dating.
So a little bit behind that story, I think Emily and I, we had some tension in regards to how we viewed the prayer life that we were supposed to take. And it's just so beautiful because it reminds me of the Pendulum series that we had at Red Rocks not so long ago, basically talking about how usually the truth is found in the middle, is found in the tension. And me personally, I was pushing forward on her and I having a prayer life where we met together and prayed together a lot of the time, but I was actually not focusing on my personal prayer time over the relationship in specific. Right. I thought that that was something that we had to do together. And I didn't want to do that alone so much, because I didn't want to feel like I was being selfish or like just praying over something that was, in my eyes, vain. Right. Like just over a relationship instead of focusing on my relationship with God when I'm alone with him. Right. And so that was kind of where I was at. And then I guess you could share your perspective.
Yeah. For me, it was kind of the opposite. And I think the tension that I had with us praying together was because I already had that security with like my own prayer time with the Lord about our relationship. Because I think it's hard to give that to someone, because prayer is something that is very intimate and vulnerable when you're not doing that on your own. And for me, I'm very independent. I just do things on my own. So then like having that be pushed to do it together, it was like, I'm already praying for our relationship. Like I don't understand the hard push for that, but it's like you were saying with attention, like we had to just both meet in the middle, like him pray more intentionally about our relationship on his own, and then me also being willing to pray together for our relationship. So we needed a balance of both.
Yeah.
And then even before we started dating, doing that individually for us to get confirmation, because we didn't want to just date to like figure out, oh, are you the person that I can see myself marrying or that I want to marry? We approached it in a way of like, no, we want to know if this is something that the Lord is leading us into beforehand, because I had been hurt so much in past relationships and I didn't want to waste my time. I didn't want to waste his time. And I also didn't want to ruined a friendship over it, because him and I were pretty good friends before.
Yeah.
So us both just diving into the prayer with the Lord and being like, God, is this the person that you say yes to so that I can say yes to in the future? So we were seeking God's approval first.
That's so good, babe. Like, and that's so important and kind of what we as a whole want to come, because I feel that dating in today's society is, all right, let's date to see if we would marry each other at some point, which I guess there is some truth to that, but I think you should be about 80 to 90% certain that this person is something that you really do see yourself marrying intentionally.
And I feel like dating, not like going on dates, but dating, like entering into a relationship, because I think they're a little different, but
right.
Sorry.
Good. Yeah. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on that.
So, okay, I had a question, because you mentioned something very important. It's the fact that you guys were friends before you decided to pursue the whole dating experiment, let's say. How did you fight through that struggle between knowing, hey, I know that this is something I feel like we might be called to pursue, but I don't want to ruin a friendship over it? Because that's something that a lot of people, at least that I know, might be struggling with. It's like, well, yeah, I like her or I like him, but like, I don't want to ruin the friendship that we have, even though I might be interested in being in a relationship with her or him in the long term. It's like, how did you fight through that sort of tension in that aspect of your relationship initially?
Yeah. Can I share my testimony about that? It's actually really funny. So John was the only person that I've ever met. Well, only man that I've ever met that I feel like we shared everything, like our ideas on not just faith, but like specific cornerstone pieces of faith, like what we believe about the Bible, what we believe about God and the Holy Spirit, and just like everything. And we both shared a huge passion for the Lord, like fire for the Lord that I hadn't seen in any other person. And we were just friends. So I think from that, I was just like, I haven't seen that in anyone else except for him. But I wasn't attracted to him.
Yeah, I mean, I am now.
I am now.
Good to know.
It was, yeah, I wasn't before, but I think it's just because I had a guard up, and I naturally have a guard up when it comes to men. I think it's been better now ever since, you know, us being together. But yeah, before dating him, I had such a guard with men because I had been hurt so many times. So I think with him being my friend, I never saw him in that way. So I wasn't attracted to him. And then when we started talking more and more, and it was developing our friendship more, but like, you can only go so far in developing a friendship before you start catching feelings. So then once I could tell that I was catching feelings, and I had a feeling that maybe he did too, we kind of started talking, but then I still had something that I was holding. So that was a part of a tension that we had in the beginning stages, because I was like, God, we wanted everything, but I'm just not attracted to him. And the Lord called me out. He called me out. I think it's 1 Samuel 17 or something like that. 1 Samuel 7. It talks about man looks at the outward appearance and God looks at the heart. And I was like, because I just kept seeing that verse everywhere. And the Lord called me out because I had cut things off with John out of trauma, fear, and also that part of not being attracted to him. And I think the Lord just kept it lingering in my mind. And then with bringing that verse to my attention and calling me out and working on my heart, it was like, I prayed this prayer. It was really bold. I was like, God, I want to see John as you see him. Because if there's something that I'm missing, I don't want to miss this opportunity. And once I did that, I swear it was like a veil just removed from my mind. And I just saw him differently. I just saw him differently. And that was when I started developing real, genuine feelings for him. And
So I guess to shine my perspective on the whole friend thing, I always kind of viewed the whole thing very loosely. And I came from a perspective of where I told her and I reassured her that if we start talking right and we're getting into this stage, I'm not going to let that affect our friendship. And I don't think that there should be any reason. If I'm called to lead like Christ and be like Christ, like, it is not situational. And I'm not going to get to a point to where I'm going to be like, oh, because in my past I was very manipulative, and I would be, if we couldn't continue to have the relationship where I wanted it, then you can have nothing with me. Right. And I think us as men, or at least me personally, I used to do that a lot, to manipulate, to have things, to have things how I wanted them, right? And so I think that when she really saw my heart in that, because there was a season where she slightly mentioned that we were starting to talk and she got scared, basically. She got scared and felt like she didn't want this to go on anymore. And she told me, like, hey, like, I don't think that we should move on, right? And so after that, I continued to be her friend. I continued to be there and like be the same person that I was before, because I'm not going to hold that against you. Like, we're both trying the best. And I know that if this isn't going to go forward, it's because it's not what God wants for my life, and I have that security. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times when there's tension in a relationship from a man or from a woman, but I can just speak from my perspective, it comes from our insecurities, right?
The fireworks are amazing. For those of you who are listening on audio right now, their cameras shot fireworks out to the screen. That's why we're laughing crazy in the middle of his sentence.
It's the sparks of love. What are you talking about? I'm kidding.
Oh my goodness. The sparks of love are flying.
Yeah. Ooh.
Anyway, but continue.
As you were saying, continue.
Yeah, no. So I'd say as a guy, like, don't try to manipulate things to have them be a certain way just because that's what you want. I think that you need to show God's character in all seasons, and the right person will come at the right time. You know, God has a plan for you. His plans for you are good, you know, like Jeremiah 29:11. So, that's what I would say. I don't think that a relationship needs to be ruined if you're keeping your heart pure. I think that's the most important part.
That's so good.
Okay, now it's my turn for my question. Okay, so you guys were both talking about past relationship traumas that you guys had to work through. My biggest question on that is, like, how did you guys work through it? Did you guys both just reveal it to each other, or was it more like something that you guys first had to work on by yourselves before you guys can even go to the next step? Because like I said, lots of people have different opinions on this, but I'm quite curious to hear your guys's.
I would say it's a little bit half and half. I'd say you have to allow the Lord to heal most of that, at least to the full extent that he can with just you. But there's things that I was healed in, but that the Lord used John to, like, further heal in my life that I didn't realize needed to be. So I think, yes, you need to be healed, but at the same time, don't sell yourself short and just allow the Lord to work in whatever things that are still remaining that you can't do on your own, but, like, another person is going to show in you.
Yeah, no, I think for me, I got to a point to where, like I said, I was pretty satisfied with where I was. And also would like to touch on another point. I think that another really important part as a male in a relationship is to be financially stable before you enter that, because you cannot want to be in a relationship or get into a point of wanting to spend the rest of your life with someone you're going to marry them, but you have no money in your bank account. You have no way to actually sustain, as a provider, your family. So that's a very, very important part.
So you didn't have to do that in the past, right?
Right, right. Yeah. But I think that speaking of trauma with me, I was pretty confident in where I was at, but Emily revealed a lot of places where I didn't even know I hadn't healed in my trauma and was there for me and helped me get through it. There's just a lot of lies, like, that we live with from past injuries, past trauma, past conflict. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, I have you to be with me and help me with that. But I think that it varies in the stage of life, and God knows who he will put in your life for that specific reason.
Yeah.
And you need to be doing your work and also understand that most likely, you know, we're being sanctified, we're being perfected until he comes back for us, right? As it says in the word. So we're never going to be perfect, but we're going to be made more holy as we come together. I think that's my favorite thing about a relationship or marriage, is that they're made to make us holy. We become more and more like Christ when we're with the right people. So,
just quickly to add on to what you were saying, I think this is really good advice for anyone who calls themselves a Christian. Is there's a difference between someone who is a Christian and a man of God. Because at least for me, I'm a woman. So I was looking for a man of God. And there was people in the past that they would just, like, they're just churchgoers, or they would just consider themselves a Christian, but I didn't see the fruit in their lives. And I didn't realize that was something that I needed to be shown. And it caused so much hurt, because there was disappointment, there was lies, there was abuse, there was just so much. And when you find someone who loves the Lord genuinely, you will see it not just with how they treat you, but with how they treat other people and with how they steward everything that the Lord has given them. So I think that was the biggest thing that allowed me to heal from a lot of past trauma is seeing the fruit of the Lord, or the fruit of the love for the Lord that John had. So,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you brought up some good points there, both of y'all. I think the one that stood out for me the most as a guy is the financial stability part, right? Because you have an issue where guys will be like, yeah, I'm super passionate about pursuing this girl, right? And it's like, that's fantastic. I love everything about that. You go right ahead and do the best job that you can, and hopefully you're seeking God every step of the way. And then they're like, well, okay, so you understand the responsibilities then if you've been seeking God in that type of manner. And they're like, well, right. I think so. It's like, okay, so you clearly understand that you have to be like foundationally secure in these areas, right? And they're like, yeah, well, kind of, sort of. Do I really? It's like, yeah, you do. You do. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to operate optimally within that relationship, and it's going to impact you. So yeah. I love that you hit on that point. It's super important. I also like the point that M hit on, which was seeking a guy who's actually a quote-unquote man of God and not someone who just identifies as a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. It's so fundamentally important that, at least from my perspective as a single guy to single ladies who are pursuing, what it means to understand the entirety of what relationship with God at the center looks like. It's like, just because a guy goes to church doesn't mean he's a Christian. Just because a guy even says he reads his Bible doesn't mean he's a Christian. Because it's like, well, what does that mean? Anybody can read the Bible. It's the best-selling book of all time. So are you reading and understanding what is to be attained from the scripture that you're understanding? Is it changing you? If it's not changing you, and that's the case with a lot of Christian guys, it's like, well, now you end up having circumstances. And I mentioned this two podcast episodes ago, where it's like you have Christian girls who trust these guys who are going to church, who seem to be putting the effort in, enough effort in, quote unquote, and then they end up getting hurt by them. Or the guy ends up saying, hey, if you don't do this in our relationship, then I'm just going to break up with you. And it like puts the women in a really, really absolutely horrific situation, and it's unacceptable. So, I mean, understand what it looks like to pursue God, and as the man, understand that that looks like being stable in very practical ways. It also means being stable spiritually, right? Read your Bible, understand what it means, pray on your own, and then eventually when you do pursue that relationship and you're in the dating phase and the engagement phase and then eventually the marriage phase, pray together. Because, you know, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, that's where the presence of the Lord is. So that's the entire picture that we need to put together. And it starts in the season of singleness as we're doing the evaluation up front.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that is so good. And I also believe that as men, not just spiritually, financially, but also physically, I think that this is something that you sent me on a podcast where, as men, we're also called to be the protectors of our household. So we need to be watching out for our bodies and be physically fit to the point to where if we need to fight or flight, like, that is our job and our role as our protectors and providers. And so it's a lot of points, like emotionally stable, being able to be there for a woman when she's going through times of difficulty. And also she's going to be there for you, but also knowing that you're like the rock of that relationship, in a sense, in the emotional standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're not going to freak out if something's going on and, like, you know, punch a hole through the wall. You know, that's not godly like character or man like character at all. I think that something that, man, I was just getting so excited as you were talking, because the Lord was just telling me so many things. And also the subject of equal yoke, I think, is so misunderstood in today's day. People think that just because someone's a Christian that they're equally yoked, and that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I can say that for sure, because no, like, just because someone has a relationship with the Lord does not mean that you guys are equally yoked. Equally yoked, it talks about fervency and intimacy with the Lord. That's what God has shown Emily and I. And that's why I feel like we've had such a beautiful relationship, and so many people can see the fruit of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've had confirmation when people have told us, like, wow, you guys are so equally yoked, and we've never told anybody.
Word for word.
We've never told anybody that. And from people that we respect, like on the prayer team, that had her while she was on the prayer team, and then now I'm in the prayer team and she's an intern at YA, not YA, at Red Rock. And they literally have been telling us what God, things that God has been telling us in secret, right? So yeah. God's been confirming a lot of things in that. So yeah, equally yoked is not just because you guys are both Christians. That is that's not true.
Equally yoked is huge. And it's hard because you think of the actual imagery of being equally yoked, and it's the yoke that you put on the two oxen. And you have to carry your own weight in order to be equally yoked. And speaking from the perspective of a woman, that means living in the identity that the Lord has given you as a woman and not what the world says that you need to be. Because you were talking about like financial stability, emotional stability, all of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of that can be applicable to women. It just looks different. But I think the biggest thing is because we talk about modesty for women, but modesty is not just outside, it's inside. Yeah. Like, do you value yourself? Do you respect yourself? Yeah. And that's not because you're trying to look like a prude or look like someone who can, you know, be a housewife. That's not what modesty is. Modesty is, are you allowing other people to see what God has placed in you instead of like letting other people see the outward appearance? So like modesty, I think, is huge. And even emotional stability, I think, is huge because as y'all probably all know, women, we go through a cycle. We have four different cycles in one entire month that we go through. And even stuff like that, like the Lord created such purposeful design with how he created our bodies, and understanding that and giving grace to ourselves in that, but also like holding ourselves accountable for things we say or things we do because yeah, we were made different, but we can hold each other accountable and be there for the other person. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of things that society just says is one way. Either it's completely the opposite of what God has designed, or it's just perverted and it's presented as something that's good, but it's really not, you know? So.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. And that's why I hammer on influences all the time. It's like, what understand? Yeah, David's laughing because he knows this full well. it's why I hammer on influences. It's like, you have to understand where you're plugged into. What the things that influence you influence your spirit, and they influence your mind and your physical actions and words by extension. So it's like, is it any wonder that if you're plugged into secular sources, you're acting more secularly? It's like, it's not a surprise. And that's why it's important to understand where you're plugged. And I really do like the perspective painted. I think it's 1 Chronicles 14. We talked about this on a podcast episode or so ago, but it's not the exact same context, but it's a similar context. I think it's King Asa. He's like the king of Judah. And God gives him like this peace. And during the season of peace, he does two very interesting things. He fortifies his kingdom. Literally, he builds walls around the kingdom of Judah. And at the same time, he absolutely destroys and burns all the pagan things that the Israelites had let into the kingdom during that period before he came into power. And it's like, well, okay. Seems like when you're in that stage of life, you have to understand two primary aspects of development spiritually. Fortify yourself with God at the center. Keep your core values and his truth at the center, and completely, utterly reject anything that does not agree with that.
When we do that,
we start to see the change that you guys are talking about. It's like you start to get more clarity, and it's just easier to do life in general and relationships by extension, right? So it's good.
I was going to go in a different direction, actually. So when you guys were talking about, like, you know, the fact that your friend groups were basically, and people that actually cared about you were kind of telling you guys that you guys were equally yoked, what sparked in my head was mostly the story of Ruth, where you see it all the time where Ruth kind of comes home and she's like, oh yeah, I met Boaz. And Ruth's mom, well, technically it's her stepmom at the time, basically reaffirms her and says, blessed is the man who does these things for you. Blessed is the man who does who kind of points it out. And what I've noticed is that when it comes to like certain areas, especially in relationships, there's a lot of confirmation. And so I feel like for me, man, like this is just something I've always told you, John, for sure, that when I talk about you and them, it's just like, you know, it's just like I see from the outside world, and God will give you the signs that you need to to really, really gain on that. And so for that being said, I think one of the biggest questions that I was actually going to try to lean you guys into was the idea of a list. Did you guys actually make a list for each other, or did you guys have any prep work like praying for your future spouse, you know? Or the last one, what is it? Or did you guys just do none of the above? Because I feel like Mike Todd talks about don't make a list because it makes expectations. But then other pastors are like, make a list of characteristics and be that. Yeah. So I'm curious on how you guys did it.
Yeah, you want me to go first? Sure.
I just want to talk about list to not list real quick.
And
I think making a list is for a specific type of person. And if you are going to do that, then don't put like outward characteristics because you're not going to know. You can put very specific character things like has to be patient or loves the Lord fiercely and like stuff like that. But I feel like that's a given. You don't really need a list for that. So I didn't have one, but I would always tell the Lord about like how I wanted it to all come together. So like when I was praying for our relationship, I didn't know I was praying for you, but I would tell the Lord, I want to be friends with someone and I want to for our friendship to grow so much that we just can't help but like want to be together. And I told him that I wanted like a huge like love story. And that's exactly what happened. So
We for those who don't know, Emily and I, we had a long distance relationship for a year. And we started long distance, and that is so rare, and that just testifies to how the Lord has worked. And that's why the whole love story, you know, it's like something you'd see in a movie, right?
Yeah.
And that's something where she had her heart and God knew her heart in that aspect. I think my whole life, I always, me specifically, I haven't been geared towards the whole list thing. I always kind of told God, I was like, you know me better. Like, God, like, you know what's there for me and what I'm going to need. And I need you to put that person in my life. And I would, you know, pray about specific things, right? I'd pray for her that like whatever she's going through right now in this season, Lord, for you to help her and instruct her and help her grow in her relationship with you. But I think in a sense, I know there's people that do have a list and they're very specific, but as I believe that we just need to be very careful on like if we're being vain or not, because in the word it says that in James, like if you ask but you don't ask like something according to God's will and where his heart is at, you're not going to receive that. Because God's not going to give that. He's more worried about your heart and your posture, where you're at with all of that. So I think that God uses lists very much as long as your heart is being pruned and you're letting him be very involved in that. I don't have anything against it or without, but my specific approach, I didn't really have a list and I didn't feel that was the direction God was guiding me.
Right. That's good. I actually agree with that too. I found that that's actually a marker of spiritual maturity. Funny enough, is that when you start looking for every single little checkbox has to be checked and you start looking for qualities at a more macro scale. Like, okay, where are they plugged into? How are they allowing God to work in their lives? Are they letting God work in their lives? How do the people in their lives see them? And when you start evaluating those aspects of a person rather than the, okay, they like this, I like that. They like this, I like that. That's important, but that's not going to keep your marriage going in year 10, 20. 30, 40, 50 type of thing.
Yeah.
So you have to have that foundational understanding, right? Obviously, attractiveness gets you in the door. That's pretty straightforward. But beyond that, it's like, what skills, what spiritual skills do you have? And that's paramount for me when it comes to evaluating at least people that I'm potentially interested in at this moment in my life as a single guy. So it's good that that is the inclination that you guys came to during your dating relationship too.
Yeah, no, I really like two things that you touched on is like, what are they plugged into? And I think that's something that I looked into a lot. And I believe a lot of what you're talking about plugged into. And that's why I want to make Christian music, because you know how you shared that you also make some music as well. And I want to make music that is going to gear people closer to the Lord and whatever it is that they're doing. So I've always seen Emily, like her taste is something that I've always told her, like, babe, I love your taste. I love, like, anytime she would post something on social media or anything, like, those sermons was, like, so filled with value. And I was like, I want a woman like that also, her prayer life. And another thing that you were talking about where you're basically saying that, so you're saying value, and then, oh, my gosh, I forgot. Anyways, whatever.
Save the day.
What's up?
Save him. You got to save him now.
Yeah. yeah, you got to save me.
Yeah, I think seeing those things in a person, even things that you wouldn't realize are something that you find attractive, like the value that I hold in things that I like aren't just because they're cool or pretty or something like that. It's because I like that what it puts out for people and what it can do to transform someone's life.
Okay, I remember. I remember what it was. And like how you said about how attractiveness gets you in the door. Okay. This is the only thing that I prayed to the Lord. And I was like, God, I just want her to be fine, Lord. Like, I want her to be fine. That was one of my prayers. I was like, Lord, like.
He's not
needs, no, like, I was like, she needs to be pretty. Like, Lord, like, actually, like, I want her to be beautiful. And so, but she's far more beautiful than her appearance. And I'm so glad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what you love to see, isn't it?
All right, two things I can take from that, honestly. The first part, praying on the fineness, dude, that's so funny, at least for me. I don't know, man. I can make an argument that basically I feel like the Lord already picks the finest women. He picks the finest women. Why? Because let's look at Abraham. Abraham depicts Sarah, and they say that she was 100 years old, and she was still beautiful. Even when it came to Isaac's wife in Genesis 24, never met the woman. And yet when he was presented to his wife, they even said she was fine. So, I mean, that's my argument with that one. Yeah. But something about we're kind of touching on like basically Galatians 5:22, just like the fruits of the spirit, something that's being poured out of people. And it's just funny because of the fact that dating's not talked about in biblical times. Like biblical, like we constantly hear it all the times. Like dating is not talked about in the Bible, but the principles are, if you really think about it, the principles of how dating and courtship work are really, really are there. And I feel like it's hard for people to, I feel like there's this sense of like, the want to be loved and the want to love someone else, you know, like I want to show my love to somebody, you know, don't get me wrong. And I think it's a lot of ideas of like, I feel like it's a lot of lies from the enemy. And it's one thing that I really do believe. And something that I'm currently working on is learning to truly submit my whole entire love and put God as like the king of my heart. Yeah. Because from there, I know you guys are going to struggle with this probably next year, but by having a wife, you guys are also going to have to figure out how to put each other first and still have God in the center, if that makes sense. Yeah. It's why I think Corinthians 7, 2 Corinthians, or is it 1st? 1 Corinthians 7, we talked about this last week, talks about how, like, you know, it's better to be single because of the fact that you have to deal with that specific problem. Mm-hmm. And so for that, that being said, guys, I know you guys have to leave in about a minute, but is there anything you want to leave it off? Like, how do you guys want to end it? With a bang?
Yes, I have a point that you were talking about. You touched on it super lightly, but I think it's so important and it'd be a great way to end. But I think a lot of people think that just because dating isn't specifically mentioned in the Bible, that the Bible itself is outdated because we have a lot of terms and concepts and social structures that we have now that aren't specifically mentioned in the Bible. But the Bible, the Word of God, is living and it's breathing and it's timeless. And that's why we're called to be set apart. We're called to be countercultural because culture is always going to change. But like the context that is in the Bible is eternal. Like the Word of God is forever.
Yeah.
And there's things that God sets before us with like how he wants us to live life and how he wants us to love people. And it's always going to point back to Jesus. And that's the goal of everything.
Yeah. So. And that's so good. Like it just reminds me of like Proverbs where like nothing's new under the sun. Right. Mm-hmm. Or Ecclesiastes, I'm not sure. That's so true, babe. I think the only thing I'd like for us to do is to pray, you know, for this podcast and for the people watching it, for them to be blessed. If you guys would give me the honor to do that, I'd love to.
I'd be honored with the teary eye and everything.
Awesome. All right. Well, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to record this podcast. Lord, I pray that you bless the people that watch it, whether it be one or whether it be a million, Lord God, that it be you touching their lives and pruning their hearts so that they can be ready for their relationships, or if they're already in one, Father God, for you to speak life into that and give them guidance, Lord God. I thank you because you are good, you are great, and you are wonderful, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks again, guys, for coming out, honestly. Truly, truly is an honor. Best of wishes. Hope to have you again next year for marriage, honestly. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Any final words? Chris?
Nope.
Me? Oh, yeah. Oh, well, no. Well, actually, yes, I do. So we ended this podcast short, obviously, because they had to go. You can find the rest on our website for $9.99. No, I'm kidding. I have no other closing remarks. I think y'all did a great job. Thank you for coming on. I do have to say y'all are just fantastic. Y'all seem to have a really good understanding of what it looks like to develop an intimate relationship with a godly perspective in a way that people who don't understand it don't, and people who think they do but don't really understand it don't. So I really do pray that the Lord blesses you guys in your relationship, and the best to you guys in that regard, truly.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you all so much. We're honored that y'all would have us on here, and we hope you have a great rest of your day, and yeah, looking forward to see more of y'all and hanging out more.
Thank you so much.
Well, yeah. Y'all guys join for lunch.
Yeah.
I know. There you go. Easy enough. All righty. Thank y'all for listening to this episode. Hope it was a good one. Until next week, peace out.